Starting Tech News Weekly in 3, 2, 1.
Hey everybody, welcome to Tech News Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by one, the only, Suncast, with his beard. Your bird is looking really good today.
Your bird is looking real good.
Your bird, yeah, you got a bird on your face.
Bird?
Your bird's looking good.
It's only 11 o'clock and you're already slurring.
You know what? Because I have not had a drink yet. That's why.
Well, why aren't you drinking right now?
I'm having coffee.
Nobody says you can't drink during tech news.
Well, I'll tell you why, John, because I am a constant professional. For people who know me. And I have a big day today. I am doing color commentary for NLW, Next Level Wrestling in Deer Park, Long Island. And I have to be at my best. And that means I have to drive there, and then I'll start drinking there before I go on the show. I'm saving
it. Is this going to be on TV, on the telly?
This is going to be on iPay-per-view. on iPay-per-view. John Prosser is with us also. John Prosser is here with us also. He's a big turd.
That's me.
Today.
Hi, I'm John. Question. Did you have to try out for this or what happened?
No. I don't do tryouts.
He's famous. He doesn't have to try out for anything.
They came to me. Actually, you know, it's funny how I stumbled into this. So one of the promoters for the company, Kyle, I was sitting on press and I'm getting loaded at this point. I'm wearing my Bullet Club shirt. And here comes Kyle wearing a little Bullet Club hoodie. And we just two-sweeted each other. He's like, oh, love your shirt, brother. I'm like, oh, two-sweet me. We two-sweeted. And then I found out that he's a promoter. And we have a lot of mutual friends from the wrestling business. And he knows the show through one of our What the Tech fans, which is producing the event. It's crazy. Like, it's such a small world when you think about it. It's so bizarre how everybody intertwines and links. If you have any kind of connection in the entertainment business, it kind of intertwines, and that's how I kind of got it. And they asked me if I wanted to do color commentary because they know the show, and they think I'm a handsome boy, and I have a nice body, and they asked me to come on and do the show.
And of course, you said yes.
And I said yes, absolutely. And by the way, I'm doing it pro bono. I'm doing this for my own amusement.
So they're not giving you monies?
No. Well, I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, and this is why you're poor at business decisions.
I'm terrible at business decisions, but I am very handsome. John Prosser, talk about business decisions.
I can't talk about anything.
I know.
I'll break the news here, though.
Okay,
you want to hear something weird? This is completely unrelated to that thing that you were mentioning. You're trying to reference there. So yesterday, my friend was over and he Googled me.
Yeah,
and he put "How does John Prosser sex?" in Google. And all these articles came up. There's apparently, so I wrote a guide on how to get started on YouTube and how to like create a business model around it.
How does John Prosser sex?
Yeah.
Okay, I just searched for how does John Prosser sex,
and there's a whole bunch. All these news articles come up because I published a YouTube guide with another company, and apparently a bunch of news stations picked it up.
Well, you know what I do get? I get a lot of Florida sex registry sex offenders. Named John Prosser.
That one's not me.
Roland John Prosser. John D. Prosser.
There was like articles like John Prosser from Front Page Tech publishes YouTube guide. Was like,
that's great.
Why is that in the news ever? Anywhere?
You know what I have in the news? I'm going to tell you my proudest moment ever was when my wife's grandfather called me and he said to me, Andrew, you are on CNN. And I go, oh, that's great. What did they do? He goes, oh, they did a whole thing on Siri with you. I go, what did they do? He goes, you're asking Siri to find you a hooker.
That sounds about right.
I go, yep. What?
That sounds about right.
You know
this,
Suncast?
Yes.
Yeah. I asked, and it told me where to find hookers. It told me where to find escorts. So the beauty and entertainment. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about. Enough with the chit-chat.
I think this is a better show than the news so far.
You know what? I would like to do this more often. I like the small opening chit-chat.
Yeah.
We should do like a technology chit-chat show. That's what it's called.
I think that's what this is.
Like two yentas drinking coffee in the morning. That's what we're going to do from now on. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about, obviously. I want to touch on this really quickly. Nintendo had the big pre-order unveil of the Nintendo Switch last night here in New York City. If you were in the New York City area and you went to the event, you could possibly pre-order the Nintendo Switch. A lot of people lined up. John Prosser, just touch on this really quickly. What do you think of this?
As far as my opinion, so far, much better than what we've seen with the Wii U, way more promising. And I think part of that is honestly just like the hype building up to it.
Yeah.
We also got to see pretty much like an open sandbox version of Mario, which they're calling Odyssey, I believe is what it's called.
Yeah, so how does that work? It's an open world, right?
Yeah, you just be Mario in an open sandbox, in an open world. And it's like it's a completely different take on that franchise, and it's different enough to actually be successful here.
I need guidelines.
Think, like, the diehard fans are gonna love this.
By the way, the Nintendo Switch is already sold out everywhere, worldwide.
Are you surprised?
Worldwide sold out. You know what though? I'm very
Here's what happened, Andrew. They probably made physically like 100 of them, and they all sold out just so they could go ahead and put in the news that it sold out early.
Isn't that what everybody does, though?
Yeah, I mean, that's how everybody does it. I'm excited. Listen, by the way, I'm going to get one. I'm a big Nintendo mark.
Are you?
Yeah, big time. So I always buy the Nintendo console. I don't care even if I play it a couple times a year. I always buy it because I've always had a Nintendo console, the latest Nintendo console. So I buy for pretty much no reason. I waste money. But I'm going to buy this because it looks promising.
It looks promising, but at this moment, I think there's one glaring problem with this, and I've heard this from multiple people, is the games at launch are pretty much just one game. And so there's some questions surrounding why they're launching this in March and not later in 2017 when all they have is basically one game that they're launching with. So there are some real questions about that. And if you think about that, if it's just launching with one game, that's almost the same as launching a phone without any apps.
Yeah, so here's the problem.
In that kind of context, I don't think it bodes well.
Yeah,
there's some serious questions from that standpoint.
The exclusive
launch
titles.
It looks cool. It's an interesting concept, but there's some serious questions regarding how well this device will do with basically just one title at launch.
You know, it's one franchise title, right? There's going to be a lot of other games, but
they said they've got what, like 60 to 80 games in the works right now.
The problem with Nintendo, and this was a major problem with the Wii U was not a bad console. Obviously Nintendo's not gonna, they're not aiming at making an Xbox competitor, you know, as far as graphics go and speed goes. What, it's a very different take that they have. Their games work for their console. It wouldn't work anywhere else on Sony or Microsoft. But here's the thing about what they did. They had tremendous success with the Wii. The Wii U, on the other hand, had a lot of problems. And that was the software glitch initially that we saw with it. It was very slow. It wasn't as responsive. They were quick to correct those problems, very quick. A couple of the promises that they had laid out did not happen. Like that whole TV integration didn't happen as well as people thought it would. But the biggest problem was getting the franchise titles out there. We had one Mario, technically. We had the Luigi one. We had no Zelda on the Wii U, except for the remake that came out when?
A lot of people are excited about that for the Switch.
I'm a big Zelda fan.
Come out.
John Prosser, are you a Zelda fan?
No. I've never been like...
Oh, you're
through
too
most
young.
Of my life, I've never been a major gamer at all.
Oh, you know what, though? You're too young. You're not a Nintendo fan.
I'm too young. Mm. That's it.
He's busy making YouTube videos.
I know.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, okay, so you mentioned the Wii.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wii was completely different when it first came out. Like, it was crazy how different it was compared to everything else that we had. It was a unique concept, something that Nintendo took a chance on. And, like, Wii Sports is one of the best-selling games of all time. Like, it was just the concept of the console itself that was different and new. That's the reason why it did so well. So that's what Nintendo had to go back to, is actually taking a risk.
Yeah, Nintendo did have to take a risk. And, listen, I think it's going to be a very successful console. I'm hoping that they can develop the games at the rate that people expect. That's all.
Yeah, by the way, just to let people know, what you get out of this is you're going to get the Nintendo Switch console.
Uh-huh. Oh, in the
you'll
package.
You'll get a left... Yeah, in the package. You'll get the left and right Joy-Con, which is basically two remotes. The Nintendo Switch dock. The Joy-Con grip, which you can put the two Joy-Cons into and use as one controller. You get the AC adapter, an HDMI cable, and Joy-Con straps. And you get all that for $300.
That's not bad, by the way. So what Nintendo does, and this is the thing about them, the console's cheap, but and their apparel, their extras are cheap. But you kind of need those extras to play certain games the way you should play them. Like, I had to buy the joysticks, like the old-school console joysticks to play certain retro games. So they make their money on the extras, the accessories for the console.
Yeah, they're going to be selling these extras. You can get another pair of Joy-Con controllers for $80. And they're also going to have a Pro controller that will cost $70 by itself. So there will be accessories sold aftermarket for this device.
Yeah, very cool. Very excited for it. I'm very, very excited. So, Suncast, we'll go into a story here.
All right, so let's talk about this Apple story here we have. Again, they're rumored to be making its own Netflix type of TV shows, their original video shows. According to the Wall Street Journal, people close to the company have revealed that it will attempt to gain Apple Music subscribers by adding original video content to the service. And this has been rumored for a while, but the company has apparently now started reaching out to Hollywood producers to plan to offer original video content by the end of 2017. So this is kind of interesting that it seems like it's now another step further and a little bit farther down the road in terms of the rumor. Now, whether or not this will actually come to fruition for them, I have serious questions about that as well.
Yeah,
It's Apple Music. What kind of original content are they going to be making for this service? I mean, yeah, they're claiming they're going to rival the quality of shows like HBO's Westworld and Netflix Stranger Things. However, Apple Music has been a very strange service, in my opinion, in terms of the original content that they have on there now. The sort of music video shows that they have, or I just, there's nothing about Apple Music that is enticing to me right now. And I'm an iPhone owner, and I think that says a lot.
That does say a lot. John Prosser,
well,
do you use it?
Apple's in a really weird position lately with this stuff. Like, usually, and it hasn't always been this way, obviously, they've definitely taken concepts from other companies, but like, they've always tried to be ahead in some way. And like, okay, well, this is really good from this company, this is really good from this company, we're just going to do it ourselves and make it better. But this is a concept that has been proven to work by other companies that need it because they're in the market. Like, Netflix doesn't do anything else. They creating original content is good for them because it helps sustain them in their own market. Apple, this isn't Apple's – what is Apple's market at this point? They're just kind of doing whatever, and they have Apple money, so they're going to do whatever with the Apple money because it works for other brands, so it might as well work for them, which is just weird, and I feel like that's a backwards way to go about it, just to do it because you have the money and because other people do it. Does that end?
Well, I think they're trying to –
just because it's Apple, it's going to work.
As stated in the article, I think they're trying to gain Apple Music subscribers, and I don't know that – tying these two things together is necessarily the best way to go about it.
Yeah, well, everybody's trying to tie everything together. I mean, Google's trying to do that too with YouTube and Google Music, and you know, you sign up and you get extras here and there. I think it's fascinating that Apple wants to get into producing videos, you know, being a Netflix type service, having Apple Originals. You know, Amazon has the user base to kind of sustain something like that on the TV. They have the user base of their store and their Prime, and they're incorporating this. Apple, I don't know, would it be too late for Apple to enter the game of...
Unless it was really good, yes.
Unless it's really good. You know, unless they have like a Stranger Things, you know what I mean? Like, they get like a Stranger Things or, I don't know, some other Netflix original. I don't know. I don't know what Apple's direction is at this point when it comes to video, because last announcement, we thought they were going to announce that Apple cable service that we never got.
We don't know what direction Apple's heading in, period.
In life.
Which is weird to say, because like, there's always sort of been a path you could see them headed on, but I have no idea what they're doing. I don't think they have an idea what they're doing.
I honestly think, in some ways, they should have approached Hulu for this cable TV service and done something with Hulu, or somehow set up the Apple TV to integrate better with Hulu or DirecTV Now and that sort of thing, to get a sort of TV-like experience on the Apple TV. I think that would have been a very smart play. Yes, you can get those apps on the Apple TV, but it's just an app on the Apple TV where it's not really promoted. There's nothing special about it. It's just an app like any other app.
Listen, Hulu's getting in the live TV service. So, you know,
I think Hulu and Apple would have been good partners for something like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know if that's happening. You know, Apple does not like launching with other providers when it comes to a service like this.
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting to see what they do with original video content on Apple Music. I mean, and see, just that alone just doesn't make sense. You're going to create original video content for Apple Music subscribers.
And that's the thing, like, okay. if it was its own standalone app, there wouldn't be nearly as many people subscribed to Apple Music. People aren't subscribed to Apple Music because it's the best. It's because it's native on their device and everyone has an iPhone.
Yeah.
So Verizon, John, I know you're going to be very happy about this. Verizon upgrade fees are now $10 more expensive, huh?
Yeah. Verizon spokesperson said that the price hike is to help cover increased costs to provide customers with America's largest and fastest 4G LTE network. So
they're charging you more money.
Yeah, here's the thing. This is something that I don't understand. Is that okay? So in 2016, last year, Verizon added a $20 upgrade fee. Now, less than a year later, they've upped that upgrade fee from $20 now to $30 again to cover the cost of the fastest and largest 4G LTE network. However, this article also states that the most recent earnings report showed that its capital expenditures have actually dropped in the past year. So that kind of conflicts in the sense that, okay, so if they're not spending as much, why are they charging more?
Because they're Verizon.
Yeah. Yeah, they're Verizon and they could do this. Let me tell you something about Verizon and all these cell phone companies. I have three lines on my plan, right? Two of them are new phones. One I brought in, so I'm not paying that fee to, you know, lease a phone, I guess, through them. Right. I'm paying $25 a month for my plan, and I cannot even budge to drop anything on this plan. That's it. I mean, that's my expense with this. It's so expensive now. It just keeps going higher and higher and higher as the cost. And now they're hitting another $10 on top of you.
I agree. So now, this is what I don't like. It's already going to be costly in order to upgrade to a phone, but now you're going to have an additional $30 charge on top of that.
That's crazy.
Plus, if you think about it, all the new taxes. Like, my cable bill went up $3 because of new taxes.
Yeah.
$3 in new taxes. Are you kidding me?
That's crazy. Right now, it's $10. That's the thing that they're doing is, like, right now it's $10.
Right now.
But before, we've had a price hike too. And this is like, there's supposed to be small changes that nobody notices. Like, the average person that, like, isn't looking over their bill or reading these articles online isn't going to even know that occurred.
And then
eventually they're going to be charging $40 more to that person since they originally signed up. And that person would have never even noticed.
Well, I'll give an example, right? I get, because my wife is a teacher, I get a 20% discount on my bill every month.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, they decided they were going to stop the 20% discount. Just randomly.
Never mind.
Yeah, randomly. They just stopped it. For a year and a half, I was paying 20% more than I should have. So finally, I called him recently, and I had a whole big argument. I go, why'd you change? He goes, we don't know what happened. It was a glitch in the system. I go, well, now you owe me the money. And they had to give me back all that money. Most people would not have noticed. They would have said, oh, okay, this is the bill.
Well, you didn't notice for a year and a half.
I did not notice for a year and a half because I don't pick at it.
Well, that's the thing, because how else are you supposed to know?
I just think this is – I have a hard time justifying this fee in the sense that, okay, well, their reasons just don't line up, and I just don't see
the – They don't line up, though. You don't have to try to justify it.
Yeah.
By the way, and it's just the $30 to upgrade. Are you kidding me? Why? I just don't
see
it.
Or the access fees. Like, what's even happening?
Right. Okay. So how many access fees? I have to have an access fee to upgrade my phone, and I have to have an access fee for my phone itself, and then I have to have all these other fees, and then it's just.
And hopefully, you don't have a tablet or a smartwatch.
Yeah. So it's like you pay $40 for a phone, and then you get the bill, and it's $60.
Yeah.
Well, it's like an access fee is like they give you a house. You bought the house. You pay monthly for the house. But if you want to get into the house, that's
you got to pay the door. Yeah, you got to pay the doorman to get in. So crazy. By the way, quick note. Apple increases the app size restriction for tvOS. Interesting move. From 200 megabytes to 4 gigs.
What?
Sheesh.
So
it's going to be for offline playback.
Offline playback.
Yep.
Where? On the box?
In the specific apps.
Yeah, but how big? The Apple TV is how big? What's the storage size on an Apple TV?
Apple TV size?
32 and 64 gig models? Yeah, 32 and 64. That's interesting.
But for example, offline playback in Netflix, the videos or the shows offline are saved in the Netflix app.
Okay.
They won't, because if they allow offline playback and they just store it on the Apple TV, that's going to cause all sorts of problems with like the actual right providers.
Interesting. Okay, just wanted to quickly mention that. Go ahead, Suncast. What else do we have?
So this is kind of interesting, and I know that John's all about this. Facebook hopes to run ads in the middle of videos. According to a tipster to Recode, they claim that the social network will start testing an ad format that runs in the middle of publishers' videos, starting as soon as 20 seconds after the clip begins. This wouldn't affect necessarily homemade footage from like your cousin's wedding, but it would be intended for pros who expect to make money. Facebook would mirror the revenue split that you see with YouTube, where creators get a 55% cut from ad sales.
Mid-rolls. What do you think of this, John?
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, okay, the ad method works for me. The ad revenue method works. It's, for one, it's a great incentive for creators to upload to Facebook, because that's one thing that's really been holding creators back, because there's just no – if I can upload to YouTube and make money off of it, why would I upload to Facebook, everyone, if I don't get anything from that? So this is a good incentive for creators, but a mid-roll ad is not the way to go. Like, unless – Unless,
this episode of Tech News Weekly is brought to you by Casper.
Yeah. There you go. Thank
you. Unless I can plan it. Like in my video, I know that 20 seconds in or whatever, there's going to be a mid-roll, and I say, okay, we're going to go to an ad. And then it goes to an ad. But if in the middle of the video, there's just an ad that gets shoved in there, which happens in YouTube videos all the time, people that use mid-roll ads, and it just makes no sense. It will just show a mid-roll ad in the middle of the video, and it doesn't make any sense. And that makes me want to stop watching the video.
So I have a question for you, John. We don't post our videos on Facebook. Is this a venue to? Is this a place to put videos on? I mean, are you posting your videos on Facebook?
It's getting there.
Are you posting?
I've tried it, but my problem is Facebook's engagement rate. So, Facebook for business, like on pages, is really, really tough. Specifically, like there's like 3,000 people that follow Front Page Tech on Facebook. But if I post something, maybe 12 people will see it,
because it's buried, because you're not paying $5. Because you're not paying them. Yeah,
yeah. So, and it's the same way with video. If I upload a video, no one's going to see it unless I pay it, which makes no sense for me. But like, if you're going to do ads, which I'm totally for, you need to do pre-roll ads, and ad that shows before the video. But the problem with that is most videos that are seen on Facebook, and this is why they're doing mid-rolls, when you're scrolling through your Facebook feed, you wouldn't stop and watch a video if the first thing you see is an ad before the video.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So that's it. The reason they have to do mid-rolls is because if ads played before the video, no one would actually start watching it. But here's the problem. If these videos are bad, or they're not great, or I'm not hooked, that gives that creator or whoever uploaded that video only 20 seconds to grab my attention. Because if an ad plays 20 seconds into the video, that is going to do nothing for me, but in my head be like, well, do I even want to finish this video? Is it even good enough? And then I'll just stop watching.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's not only that. I think most people would agree that mid-roll ads are the most annoying thing on the internet.
Yes, very.
I can't tell you how many times I've had complaints from users here on GFQ about mid-roll ads on other services. I think Ustream does this, and this is the primary complaint that I receive, is that I hate watching Ustream because of the mid-roll ads. We can't control those ads whatsoever. So,
well, it's like
we're
SOL up to your
on
TV
that,
and
most people are just frustrated by it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, because the problem with these mid-rolls is that it's not placed properly, right? It's not like we know it's going to an ad, so we say, okay, well, we'll be right back after this, and we go into a mid-roll ad for an hour, and then we come back. It's just sporadic. It's depending on the user.
Plus, that doesn't do – I don't think that does anything for the ad agency either, because, like, at that point, I'm just going to resent whoever's running the ad. I'm not going to care about whatever product they're promoting, because it's literally like – I was sitting there watching a show, and some asshole came and turned the TV off for 30 seconds. Yeah. That's all they did. They just interrupted
completely
the show
interrupts your viewing experience.
Right.
It's not a pleasant experience to have your show interrupted. It's like your show being preempted, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, very. I'm curious to see if people actually monetize on Facebook videos. And who actually gets good engagement on there, because it's a rarity for most people.
I still don't think Facebook is necessarily the best place for videos. I don't. I scroll through them, and it's just the quality just still isn't there with YouTube, and generally it's just a hodgepodge. I don't like their video player. The video player is terrible still. It's not a great experience. There's better places, especially YouTube, that you can go and watch videos.
Yeah.
Not only that, but if you think about it from the standpoint of, okay, well, the fact that you can get the YouTube app pretty much anywhere on any platform, such as a Roku, Fire TV, or Apple TV, and people will watch videos from that, I don't think Facebook can do something like that. Yes, you can get a Facebook app for your Roku or Fire TV, but it's not going to be in that same experience of what you get with the YouTube app.
It's
going
to have to be a
strictly watching videos.
It's going to have to be a separate platform and a separate directory all on its own that's accessible through Facebook.
Yes.
You know, that's really the right way to
do it. Well, that's the thing. It's Facebook video isn't the problem. It's discoverability on Facebook that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I'm willing to sit through a pre-roll ad on YouTube is because I searched for something, or I knew before I actually got to the watch page what I'm about to watch. So I'm willing to sit through a pre-roll ad because at the end of it, I know I get my video. With Facebook, videos are competing for your time in the news feed. You didn't look for them. They're just there, and they're going to try to convince you to watch them. And if there's a pre-roll ad before it, you're not going to watch it. So there needs to be a dedicated channel, and they're trying it right now. But there needs to be a dedicated channel for discoverability on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Where you can search, or you know exactly what you're looking for and you can find it. It's not all just random in your newsfeed and all the videos are competing for your time.
Well, I'll give an example, right? The live videos that they have on there. Our live video when we go on Facebook is not listed there because we're not streaming from a mobile phone. We're streaming from a third-party device.
Well, okay, so I have a tab for that stuff, like a video tab on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I prefer watching all of your live streams on Facebook, because I'll sit there, I'll get a notification on my phone that says you're live. I tap it, I open it, I'm in chat, I'm in the video, and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
It's super simple, super streamlined, and there's even a tab for it in the app for me. Like, if any of the people that I follow are live, I can see them on that page. But it's just super simple because I could look out for your tweets, or I could set up notifications for your tweets for when you're live, or I could just follow you on Facebook, and as soon as you go live, I get a notification for it.
Interesting. So, Cass, what else do we have?
So this is pretty cool. Nielsen has revealed that Americans streamed 431 billion songs in 2016, which surpasses the total digital sales of songs and albums for the first time in history. Nielsen said that folks in the U.S. streamed more songs per day, 1.2 billion, than the 734 million that were downloaded during the entire year. So basically, streaming music is king right now. So that's pretty cool.
Spotify. It's all Spotify, man.
Oh, absolutely.
All Spotify. It's really changed the way that we listen to music, and it's made it make a lot more sense with paying just $9 a month and just having everything you want to have and discovering new music and listening to old music. It's pretty much the most perfect platform for this stuff, way better than what iTunes is doing currently.
I mean, I know that you and I both did this in our younger days where we would, you know, use Napster or Kazaa or whatever to, you know, pirate MP3s and all that stuff back in the day.
I was a LimeWire kind of guy.
Ah, LimeWire.
Yes, yeah, those are the days. I use that as well, but it's like it's such a different landscape now where it's just easier to pay, you know, Spotify, whatever the subscription fee is, and get anything that you want on any device that you want.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, people are going to get what they want regardless, and it's up to you, the platform or the brand, to make it as easy and as convenient as possible for them, because then that's what they're not paying for the music. They're paying for the convenience that they can get it anywhere at any time they want on any device they want. You just made it easier than pirating.
Yeah, well, I think that says a lot.
I
was saying that yesterday, right? The fact that, you know, even on television, right? We have Hulu and we have Netflix and all these services now. You are less likely to pirate if you make it convenient for somebody. Exactly
at the right
what you're
price
saying.
Point, too, by the way.
Yeah, fine. $9 a month, you know, $10 a month, $12 a month. But if the stuff that I want to watch is there, I'm less likely to pirate it and search for it because it's a hassle. I'll pay the $9 a month and listen to it. Same thing with music, same thing with television. So as we change the idea of how we buy content, I think it's going to shift into less piracy in that sense. I don't know anybody really downloading. I mean, obviously, I know a couple of people, but for the most part, people aren't seeking, you know, TV shows because it's all accessible. It's all online now.
Well, okay, here's another thing. Especially when I was younger, I was super into, like, every pay-per-view that wrestling had to offer.
Yes.
But, like, I remember always getting it illegally in some fashion. Okay. If the WWE Network was around when I was a kid, that would have been amazing. That's just $10 a month.
Yeah.
And I get everything. That makes my life so much easier for me.
Yeah,
it's just a matter of convenience. It's not that you can't afford it. It's just convenience.
That's the whole point.
I tell you what, I use Spotify almost every single day, and I love it. I used to, like I said, I used to be that guy that had Kazaa or whatever and downloaded MP3s. Now I don't. I don't really download any audio now. I just listen to everything on Spotify. Spotify has such a good experience, good discoverability, and everything else that it doesn't make sense to spend the time to hunt down and pirate music anymore.
Yeah, it's too much work. Way too much work. Then, Cass, what else do we have?
stuck out more than anything else, and that was Amazon's Alexa being integrated into just about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at – I have this list here, and it's like a football field long. We have Westinghouse, Element, Sakai. They're all building TVs with Amazon Alexa integration.
And Fire LG TV integration, by the way. Fire TV integration for those.
Yeah. LG put Alexa in a refrigerator. They also put it into a smart home robot. Lenovo's smart assistant is basically an Echo by a different name. Mattel has a dancing robot that has Alexa integration. Some company called Bixie is making a portable puck with Alexa in it. GE has light bulbs, LED ring lamps now that have Alexa capability. It's just crazy how many devices here. That's just half the list of stuff out here.
Amazon is really
one of the things that I thought
this.
Was very interesting is that Volkswagen and Ford both announced that they're going to have vehicles with Amazon Alexa's integrated into it. And I think that's a huge deal. I was reading this article about the Volkswagen integration, and they're actually creating custom Alexa skills to be able to do certain things, such as, you know, check your amount of fuel, unlock or lock your doors, check the amount of windshield fluid you have in your car, when your next oil change is, car-centric features that they're creating specifically for Alexa. And I think that's a pretty cool thing that they're doing and something that, in a way, would entice me to look at a vehicle that has Alexa integration.
Yeah. It's I think it's interesting that Amazon has become the one with that's kind of in control of the situation. You know, they're the ones that are doing really well with this compared to Google.
Yeah, for
or
something
anybody
that
else.
just was only 2 years ago launched.
Yeah,
well,
this is all happening in 2 years.
Reason. There's a reason, and it's because it works for everybody. Like the problem with anything with that Apple's doing or that Google's doing is that you need to be in that ecosystem. I mean, it sort of works if you're using Siri related stuff, or like if you have CarPlay or whatever, or Android Auto. It sort of works, but it works better if you're in the ecosystem. Amazon has taken instead of realizing that they need to create their own ecosystem and get people in it, they decided, oh, we can make this and it can work for anybody within any ecosystem because we can make this standalone and it doesn't matter what platform you use. And that was that's a perfect concept, and that's why a lot of people have bought into it, because it doesn't matter what preference you have, iOS or Android, what devices you're using, anything like that, because it's cross-platform.
Yeah. It's very...
And I think also the fact that it works with so much stuff. They've really taken a if this and that approach where you can create recipes or what they call skills, and you can basically do almost all sorts of things. And if there's not a skill there, you can tie this into IFT and use IFT with Alexa and do just basically 80,000 number of things. And I think that is very key to the success of Amazon's Alexa. And by the way, Amazon, if you're listening, I would love an Echo.
Oh, man. John.
Don't cut to me.
Anything coming up? No, I'm just asking you. Anything coming up? Anything new with the show?
Lots of new stuff coming up real quickly here in the next couple of months. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. You're always up to something. You're always working hard.
Yeah. Or hardly working.
Where can people follow you?
At From Page Stacker on Twitter, or at John_Prosser on Twitter.
How about you, Suncast? What are you up to? Where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at Suncast. That's SUNKAST. And by the way, there's one thing I do want to mention.
Yes.
We're trying to raise some funds for my 6-year-old nephew.
Yes.
He has type 1 diabetes, and we're trying to raise about $22,000 to get him a diabetic alert dog. This dog is amazing. Yes, it's a lot of money, but for a 6-year-old, it's very difficult to manage his diabetes, and having a dog that can, you know, help to diagnose and alert us to whether he has low or high blood sugar is very important, because he's 6 years old. He's not very good at managing it himself, and it's so difficult when you're that age. It's one of those things that it's just difficult. So we're trying to raise some money so that we can get him a dog to better help diagnose these low and highs in his blood sugar. Yep. And it's very helpful overnight. So if you're interested in donating, you can go to ElijahBubb.support. That's ElijahBubb.support.
Also, we'll have it in the show links as well.
Yes.
If you, for people listening to the podcast, you can listen and click on
I appreciate any amount that you can donate. We're working with an organization called Canines of Hope. They're a 501c3, and if you would rather have a tax deductible donation, you can give through there. You can also give through the service that trains the dogs as well.
Very, very cool. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter, @AndrewZarin. Obviously, you can subscribe to the podcast. We're everywhere podcasts are available. and we will see you all next week. Bye-bye.